T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Here it is. This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the New Media Production Studio in Coldwater, Michigan. I got a great show lined up for you tonight, a monster show you're going to want to watch. This is going to be a big one because what it is, it's episode 1500. In tonight's show, we're going to talk about the regular stuff, the regular tech stuff. We're going to talk about Windows. We're going to talk about Qualcomm. We're going to talk about CES. We're going to talk about Amazon. But first and foremost, I want to welcome you to episode 1500. Woohoo! We're finally here of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, January 14th. This show is sponsored in part by our good friends at GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. First and foremost, if you're checking this show out for the very first time, I want to welcome you. And of course, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out the website. Whoops. That's the Wayback Machine. That's what the website looked like in 2002. So make sure you get over to, if you're watching, and if you're not watching the show tonight, you need to be watching the show. If you listen to the audio podcast, you need to be watching the video podcast. But get over to geeknewscentral.com. We want you to get subscribed to the show. It's real easy right there in the right-hand column of the website. Get subscribed so that you won't miss a single episode as we move into the next 1,000 episodes. But of course, you can sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about tonight. So we want you to make sure that you don't miss out on that. You'll get an email directly following the show that has all the show notes, everything that I've covered here. So make sure you get connected with us here via the newsletter and subscribe to the show. You can also join our chat room at geeknews.chat. We're on Discord as well. That link is in the show notes. You can always contact me via email at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or on Twitter at geeknews. So you see a thread here. And of course, you can follow me on Facebook. Partner shows are all linked at geeknewscentral.com. And really, I do have to say, as we start off, thanks to Rob Greenlee and my co-host over at the New Media Show, the bloggers that take care of the Pro Gear Guru site, my writers that take care of Geek News Central. And of course, if you've been following Geek News Central this week, we've been hammering it, destroying the budget too, with coverage from CES. Of course, we've got the Podcast Legend Show that is dead, but GNC Week in Review with Kirk, who is my executive producer. And a big shout out to Kirk for really getting the show prep done, saving myself lots of time. And of course, Don Bain, the Gadget Professor. So all those are partner shows, partner sites here at geeknewscentral.com. Again, they're on the very top of the website at Geek News Central. Definitely check those out. So, you know, really, this show ultimately would not be where it is today and all these years without our good friends at GoDaddy. They joined the show as an integral partner and sponsor in June of 2005. Holy smokes, if you think about that, and have been here every month supporting the show, allowing me to do what I do, allowing me to keep the lights on, allowing me to pay the insurance, allowing me to pay the rent, to do what we need to do to be able to put a good show together, to have built this beautiful studio and everything around it. So tonight, I really want you to, if nothing else, to tweet, to thank GoDaddy for their longtime sponsorship of the show. They really, truly have been an integral partner with the podcast. Now, that said, as always, we want you to take just a few minutes and go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want you to really think about it. Think about support. Think about this. They've been with this show for 15 and a half years. It's amazing. The show itself is only 16 and 4 or 5 months old. So think about it. You know, pick up a domain name, use my promo codes to get 30% off a new product purchase. Hey, you want to start a COVID, something that's going to help you have a backup to the next pandemic? Get a dollar a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain for $12. Or get a dollar a month managed WordPress hosting site for the first year, again, with a free domain for $12. Those are the two best, absolute two best deals in the podcasting space. There's nothing better than those two deals. And of course, if you're a business owner, free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. That's a 1 month free trial. And again, Chris Redlinger, if you're watching tonight, if you catch wind of this, you are my absolute longtime hero. Chris is the gal that called me and said, Todd, we want to sponsor your show. Starting a relationship that has lasted all these years. It's incredible. There's no one in the podcasting space that has had a sponsor for 15 plus years, the same sponsor for the same show. So it's a testament to all of you that have picked up GoDaddy promo codes, hosting accounts, used the discount codes, renewed year after year, all those things that go into building the performance so that GoDaddy continues to sponsor the show. Yes, I still have to put new butts in the seats every month, but as long as we have new audience members coming in, we're able to meet that goal. And you help me by promoting the show to your friends, family members, and people that you know. It really is that simple. Now, if you're watching, yes, of all nights for the stream to die, it's perfect for months and months on end. And tonight it died. So yes, I'm going to have to edit. I have to edit the show. But anyway, long story short, thank you to GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here, for taking care of the show. And it's really, truly an incredible that they've been here this many, many years. And so thanks to them. So insane, absolutely insane that the show drops out the one night, the most important night of this show. You know what it is? It's absolute karma. It's absolute karma that the show would go down. Absolutely. So let me double check, make sure all our friends can get back in here. Oh my God. Unbelievable. All right. We set it back to public. Yes, it was a conspiracy. Conspiracy. All right. So the show goes on. And we're reset. Well, hopefully we'll stay online. Insane. Insane. All right. And we're not even hitting the numbers. So let me start off by, first of all and foremost, the studio designed by Audimute.com. Thank you so much. And of course, we've talked about it on the last show. If you become an insider, you're going to be part of our new private podcast. And we've actually had a number of folks already sign up as insiders in anticipation of that. And we'll get that started here in the next couple of weeks. We'll talk about this on future shows. We don't want to spend too much on that tonight. But more than anything, this past few days, I've been working with the Plug Hits guys from the Tech Podcast. We've been doing some CES coverage. I've done about 5 or 6 hours of that this week. And so anyway, I really want to say thank you to all of you, that have long listened to this show. There are people that are listening to the show via podcast right now that have been here since single digits. There are people that have listened to this show for a couple of years, went away, come back, listen for a couple of years, went away, come back. And so some of you are like on your fifth time listening to the show, having been away two or three times. This is what happens when you have a show that is 16 years old. And of course, Kirk and the blogging team, you know, my goodness, thank you so much. Kirk is like a brother from another mother. Him and I are in sync. When Kirk took over the job of doing the show prep, he really got me about an hour to an hour and a half of my life back every Monday and Thursday night. So big thanks to Kirk and, of course, the blogging team. And, you know, we pay these people, these team members. So it isn't like they're doing this for free. So, again, the sponsorships and the insider donations are all what fuels this thing. And, of course, you know, this show is in Hawaii for, what is the number here, 14 and a half years. I moved it here to Michigan Bashoko and the kids and all those years of me doing shows, they say, you know, I have to give credit where credit's due in that ways. I'm here solo, obviously, now. But there's even news on that front that's going on. But that's for another time. But what I want to do tonight is really several things. And I want to start off, and those of you that are watching live, you're kind of in for a treat. And again, if you're listening to the show, just listen to this first set of dialogue, because I'm going to show you some stuff that you may not have seen before. And I went to the Wayback Machine today. And the Wayback Machine, if you don't know what it is, it's part of the Internet Archive. And they capture images from websites long ago. And the first image I showed tonight during the show was what the website looked back in 2002, before I was a blogger. And the earliest capture I found on the Internet Archive from when I started doing the show was actually, you can see it right here if you're watching close. This is October 13th, 2004, Geek News Central Podcast, 10-12-04, episode number 2. Do you know what I played on that episode? AC/DC, Back in Black is the intro music. That's why that podcast episode doesn't exist anymore. But this is what the website looked back then. You know, when we started the show, and those of you who've been here, you know, it is the weirdest, single weirdest design that probably was ever done for the show ever. The site's always been a little quirky. It's got that green on green. It's got the G. I can't even remember who did this first design. I paid for it. Can't remember how much I paid for it. I hope I didn't pay too much. But, you know, that's right there about the time the show launched. And this was on movable type. And then if we move forward a little bit, this is going up to 2007. And there's some graphics that looks like it's missing here. But this is when I was in a 3-column. And this ran for a long time. I believe I was still running on movable type at this time. I don't think I had switched to WordPress yet. And boy, it just probably brings back some memories for all of you that have been here. And here's a weird thing. This is from December 11th, 2007. And I was already complaining about the RIAA. I said, the RIAA are dirty snakes. So a little more critical in my blogging. And of course, at that time, I was, you know, still active duty with Uncle Sam. As a matter of fact, just getting ready to retire. Then this is the website as of around December. Actually, and what's weird is, and actually it hasn't switched on your screen yet for those of you watching, this was the post I made in November 27th of 2010 when my cousin's kids came missing and are still missing. And this is right after Thanksgiving, but this is that you can see we're getting ready for CES. This is definitely when we're on WordPress now, but I talked about Andrew, Alexander, and Tanner, and I know many of you over the years have touched out and reached out to me about that when you find out that these are relatives of mine. And so it was just ironic that I hit this particular page. I was just loading random stuff in Internet Archive. I wasn't even trying, and I got that page. And then if we move forward a little bit, this is 2015. And again, the website, you know, looks a little different. And around that time is when I made the switch to see if I've got it. That's the current site design today. And that site design is actually running on our plugin that we provide all our podcasters at blueberry.com. So I use my own templates. I use my own, you know, obviously we're hosted at Blueberry. But I think one thing that I've never done on this show ever, weirdness across the bag, who knows, maybe I'm being attacked. So anyways, I walked through the websites. I've never shown you guys what we have done in the actual a podcasting space. You know, you hear me talk about Blueberry and the stuff that I do there, but you know, really what it started off was is when we built the Tech Podcast Network. And the Tech Podcast Network is still alive today with a number of shows. It's not as close of a relationship as we've had in the past, but it's still there. It's something that we do. But, you know, one of the things that I launched in the early days of podcasting was the Podcast Awards. And the Podcast Awards today is an ongoing, you know, ongoing event that I do. And again, if you're watching, live.geeknewscentral.com is a great place to go to make sure that you see the show. All right. So anyway, you guys are all over there. You guys already moved. You know, what's the chance of this happening on the 1500th episode? And now I'm going to have to edit this thing to death. Maybe I won't edit it. Maybe we'll just let it go in its glory. So anyway, long story short here is, you know, we built the Podcast Awards. And then, you know, after the GoDaddy sponsorship came and then I had this idea about building a business, we launched Raw Voice. Raw Voice is a company I started in podcasting. And the first site we had was called Podcaster News. And it was kind of it was designed to be like this short news takes around the country. And really, it never worked out. But we converted Podcaster News into an actual podcasting website. And today it's actively being written about what's going on in news in the podcasting world. But really, everything that was born from everything from this podcast and the ideas I had, and with my team from Raw Voice, we came up with our hosting company called Blueberry. And it actually started out as a service company where we sold advertising and did hosting. And blueberry.com really ended up being, you know, what we've built and really rallied around since 2006. And the total product line over there is really incredible and what we have built. And I don't think many of you maybe podcasters know this, but let me just kind of walk you through some of the stuff that we have done over this entire time. Again, it's my team. And, you know, we built this together. It wasn't just, you know, a single person's initiative, but we launched podcast hosting. We have podcast statistics. And of course, the page is loading a little slow here for some reason. And wait for that to update. The podcast statistics platform was really a first. That was the first product that we came up with. The PowerPress plugin, which is used today by about 85,000 active podcasters. It's for people that have a WordPress site. And then in just a host of other stuff. We have a dynamic advertising insertion. So if someone needs a platform to be able to dynamically insert ads into their podcast, we can. We've got a new product we launched last year called Private Internal Podcasting. It's for people that need to do private podcasts that don't want them to be public. And it's kind of a thing right now. And then we have these podcast network tools that we build in. It's basically a network building tool. And it's what powers tech podcasts. So if I click on Geek News Central here on the screen and that page loads, then what you have, and of course it's loading slowly, so give the computer a second, the graphics on the screen a second to catch up. Oh, there it goes. So it basically has the ability for us to showcase shows on another website. So, you know, that's one of the things that we built. And the reason on the page loading slow is purely on my side. The screen capture system is not switching as quick as it should. And then, of course, we introduced what was called Podcast Mirror. It helps podcasters keep their performance on their RSS feed. So that if you're on a cheap hosting plan and you're a little overloaded on traffic, that's a site that gives them the tools to do that. One of the things that we bought a number of years ago is a site called CastFeed Validator, and it allows podcasters to validate their RSS feed. And it's just another tool that my team made. One of the most influential systems that we put on the market was called Subscribe on Android. Before you could have Google Podcasts and before there was an easy way to subscribe to podcasts on Android, we put this online and made it the ability to easily, again, one-click subscribe to a podcast on Android. So it just goes on and on, the stuff that we did. And, you know, one of the things I didn't think would ever work but turned out worked real well, subscribe by email. Hundreds of thousands of people a day get an email to their inbox that says, hey, there's a new episode of a podcast launched. And, you know, it's just little things like that that my team has done over the years. And really, the entire savior of the company was based around this plugin. When we pivoted and built this, I talked about it earlier, but the transition from collecting advertising dollars to become a service company fully centered around that plugin. And many of you have been around in the years and maybe you know some of this, but that's what my team does at Blueberry on a day-to-day basis. And again, I probably go back in the Wayback Machine and look at Blueberry before and would probably cringe a little bit, but that's our current design of the website. And it's our funnel for getting people in to use our products and services. I didn't want to spend a lot of time on that tonight, but I did think it was important to walk back and really kind of talk and give you some quick facts and figures. I do this every 100 episodes. As near as I can figure it, there's been about 7,200 hours of production and publishing of this show, about 1,900 hours of content, and definitely over 200 million downloads over 15 years. Those of you that are new to the show, some history. Again, this show started, October 9th, 2004. It definitely started in Waco, Texas, after I'd gotten hurt in a swimming pool accident in June of that same year. Started the show with a lab tech mic from Walmart, and really it evolved from that point. Took the show back to Hawaii and started there, and there's a whole series of stories about that. But did the show for 14 and a half years in Hawaii, a majority of it from historic Ford Island, then moved to the house in Makakilo overlooking Honolulu. And then a year and a half ago, moving back to Michigan, some milestones. I entered into the Podcast Hall of Fame in 2015, and one of the first groups. Already talked about launching the Tech Podcast Network and GoDaddy, and we didn't talk about Citrix. Citrix was another company. Citrix GoToMeeting sponsored the show for years. And, I think about it, and we've tried to calculate it, and we haven't come up with an exact number, but, we would go to these events like NEB and CES. We'd go as a team. So typically each team member would get 30 to 40 interviews per show, and we've done that every year except for this year. And, of course, I did it live this year, so I guess we did do CES this year. So if you really add that up over 15 years, that's probably another 600 interviews that I did with a team effort of like 3,200 interviews from CES on top of the 225 episodes at Podcast Insider and the 100 I've been involved with and the new media show, which Rob and I have done together, which is at 425 episodes. We've racked up some time behind the mic, or I have. So those of you know that's been listening to watching the show for a while, I grew up here in the Quincy Coldwater area. My grandfather was a cash crop farmer. My dad was a contractor and later on a produce broker. Really, when I was growing up, it was there was always something to do, but I was heavily involved in 4-H and FFA. I went to a vo-tech school in high school, got a background in electronics for 2 years. Joined the Navy in 1983, and he went on to be my own boss. And I always say that with a chuckle because, no, when you join the Navy, you're not your own boss. I was lucky enough to fate was sealed to be able to become an air crewman and flew my entire time while I was in the Navy until I got hurt in 2004 when I was grounded permanently and had an amazing career, an amazing job. That entire time. But during that period from 88 to 91, I ran a bulletin board system out of California. I was in Guam from 91 to 94, ran the BBS there. And this was all the time, having an active duty and, running a Wildcat BBS and moved to Maryland and had the BBS in a closet in ISP. So lots of stuff. But then in 97, after my second son was born, moved to Hawaii, the BBS continued all the way up to 02 when I pulled the plug and then started the blog. And those of you been around for a while know I wasn't a great blogger. And then from there straight forward in 2004 is when the podcast launched. So that just kind of gives you an idea. But, you know, some more granular stuff for this show is in December of 2004, I got the book deal. So I wrote the first book on podcasting. We announced that in May of 2005, and there's a whole story about that. We launched Tech Podcast Network in December of 2004. Again, June, GoDaddy became a sponsor. We launched Raw Voice mid-summer of 2005. I got the podcast awards going. In 2006, I attended my first CES. We did audio only at that event. Quickly realized we needed to have video. And then a monumental event happened. Those of you that were around in 2006, and matter of fact, it was on a show just like this. Or prior to a show like this. It was episode 200 is when I got the word that my dad died. And we put off doing the show, obviously, because we're packing to go home. And I came back to Honolulu 10 days later. And it's when I truly found out that this family of listeners that listen to this podcast truly cared about this host, because there was over 5,000 emails of condolence. And there wasn't a time where we had internet, you know, there was dial up in much of the country still at that point. And I was pretty overwhelmed by that response. My mom and I launched a podcast called Sherrycast, and it was 26 or 27 episodes about that horror deal of my dad dying. And then in 2007, retired from the Navy. But, you know, there are some things that are interesting. Around show 500, and I think it's high 500s, I started playing with video on this show. Up to that point, really for 5 years, it was audio only. And then kind of the rest of history you already know. But it's been one hell of a ride. To get to 1,500 episodes with all of you has been truly incredible, truly humbling. I'm sorry that many of you were not able to watch on Facebook tonight, but I've seen most of you have moved over to YouTube, so I appreciate that. And those of you who are watching on YouTube, thank you so much. But really, many of you have been here from the get-go, and I thank you for that. For your ongoing support of the show, and really the thousands of emails that have come in over the years. You know, Sal, you know, the emails we had with him in the early years, you know, the ones that really twisted my chain a little bit are the folks I remember. And of course, all the people who have supported the show. You got a whole host of folks that have walked the halls of CES, contributed. I've had two generations of listeners do things for this show. I've had fathers and sons, and I've had, you know, people fly on their own dime to come out and stay in Vegas and pay for their hotel room and, you know, and help the show and do things like that. You know, it's those folks are, I'm forever grateful, because the show would not have been able to been accomplished without the fans and without the family of listeners of this podcast. And I think that that whole, you know, everything that goes around that conversation is really a big part of why I continue to do this show. I still have fun. I've told you guys, like in episode 10, when I quit having fun, I'll just stop. But that's not the case. I'm still having fun. Still have a sponsor. Still have folks supporting the show as insiders. It's really, really incredible. And I know that you guys missed some of the beginning of the show today because the stream was acting up. Gives you a chance to listen to what you missed by listening to the podcast. That's a good thing, because I was looking at the recorder. You know, here's a funny thing this week. This morning, the guys from Plug Hits, Kirk was having trouble with his computer. I was having trouble with a Mac. It's been a day. My son Chris is messaging me like crazy right now. I don't know if you can hear that. And things have just, it's been a day of like weirdness with computers. So I am not surprised we had the trouble at the beginning of the show with Facebook dropping out. I am not at all surprised. Whatever is going on, it's something in the air today. And it happened all day with weird quirks. So it wouldn't be a 1500 show without just madness, right? All the prep. Oh, and I got to show you something. You see that back there? Those of you watching, let me move the mic. So thank you so much for the super fan that sent me a plant. So I guess I'll see if I can keep this thing alive, but it's had a congratulatory note, some balloons, obviously. I think it's a fern. I'm not a plant guy, so I don't know. You know, I do have a little bit of a green thumb, but we'll see if I can keep that from dying. So first time I've ever gotten a plant. So it'll be something that'll hang out here. Maybe next year at 1600, it'll still be here. We'll see. We'll see if it is. But anyway, I jumped around a little bit here. But again, a thank you to all of you for being here for all this time. And a thank you to my team here at Geek News Central, my team at Blueberry. Thank you to everyone in the family here, family of listeners. And it's been an incredible ride. But just like tradition, like every other show, I am going to do the regular podcast tonight with the regular tech news, because that's what we do here. We don't just do an anniversary show and hang it up and go home. We do the full blown podcast. And tonight is no exception to that. So, Rita said, I've had issues with lag on YouTube. That's interesting. So I'm looking through the channels here. Yeah. Yeah, YouTube is, so I think what it was is, I got a mention today in a big newsletter over at Pod News about this episode. So it must have been jinxed. Maybe I'll just leave the editing. The Reddit audience will just have to deal with it. All right. So have I missed anything? Let me just kind of look here. We've come a long way, baby. We've come a long way. All of you been along for the ride. You've seen the quirks and turns of this show. So nothing should surprise you at this point. It doesn't me. Because, you know, what can go wrong will go wrong. And it does. But this is a podcast. This is what happens sometimes. let me click on that and make sure I didn't close one last tab I shouldn't have opened. Oh, I was supposed to close that one. So anyway, let's transition. Again, thank you, everyone, for your support. If you've got comments about today's show, you guys, you all know where to send those comments. You can send them to geeknews@gmail.com. Don't forget to become an insider, but let's get into the regular stack of stuff, and then we'll get you in and out of here. Oh, man. So Windows 10. Yes, Windows 10. And we don't talk about Windows very often here. We talk about it often, but Windows 10X. Have you heard about that? Windows 10X is now Microsoft's true answer to Chrome OS. It's a new lightweight version of Windows to take on Chromebooks, and it was kind of leaked today. We've got some pictures of it. So for those of you that are still using Windows machines, make sure that you definitely check out this article. I won't go into too much detail. There's lots of screenshots for you to take a peek at, and a lot of details of what the OS looks like. It's really pretty thin, but you would expect it to be kind of a Chrome type of a Chrome OS type of operating, but from Windows. But in more interesting news, Qualcomm has bought a startup founded by former Apple chip designers. Now, you know, Qualcomm and Apple have a great relationship. They're best of friends. And of course, they announced this acquisition that's bound to make ripples in the chip world, even though you may not have heard of the company acquired. Qualcomm paid $1.4 billion for Nuvia, a startup founded by three engineers who worked on Apple's A-series processors that power the iPhone and the iPad. It plans to use Nuvia's technology and future chips for devices ranging from vehicles to smartphones to laptops. So, wow. They've already threw their anti-compete because they started their own business. So Qualcomm probably is going to get this company clean, but it's nothing like swooping up Apple talent. Maybe Apple should have took them off the table and not allowed Qualcomm to get that acqui-hire. But that's what they got. The tech industry during CES has uncovered new ways to mask up against COVID-19. From health sensors to colorful accent lights, tech companies have showed off new ways to upgrade everyday mask. And so there was a whole bunch of little things here. There's one called the Mask Phone. What more do you need to hear? The Mask Phone, made by Benetton, is a $50 washable mask with a built-in Bluetooth headset. No microphone, I don't think. The goal is to help get rid of that muffled sound. The mask is rated N95. And the Mask Phone lasts for 12 hours. And let me see if I can get a little picture for you. It doesn't look too weird, but it does have a Bluetooth built into it. Really? Do you think anybody's going to buy that? And then there's the AirPop Active Plus. This will set you back $150. It's fitted with a sensor on the front that's about the size of a quarter that connects with an app, of course, to track your breathing rate, pollutants, air quality, and then when to switch out the filter. And I'm sure the filters are very, very expensive. LG has what's called the PureCare mask. We kind of knew about this already, but it has a HEPA filter and sensors. All told, LG said it can block more than 99% of airborne viruses. Probably the 1% is the one that kills you. But it goes on here in this article to talk about all the mask technology and all the healthcare folks that we're talking to during our live interviews today. We're all on board in discussing the all the different things that they were doing and how they were being effective in helping with the pandemic. It was interesting to hear all those spins. Moving on, Amazon Ring Neighbors. Now, are you familiar with this? I'm not familiar with the specific app. The Amazon Ring Neighbors app have exposed users' precise locations and home addresses. So if you have a Ring device at your house and you're part of their neighbors app where you share information, apparently it's every post someone makes with that app has been putting their location data and all kinds of stuff in there, home address and everything. So they've got a little bit of a problem there. It wasn't visible to be seen, but it was behind all the metadata. So they're going to work to fix on that. Now, this is the second time that neighbors app has had a bug. So looks like the owner there, we know who that is, should put in some extra time to shore that up a little bit. And yeah, Amazon, shore that app up and make it a little bit less buggy and leaking information. NASA says 2020 tied 2016 for the warmest year on record. Now, we were all locked down. Pollution was down across the country. I've seen YouTube videos of in India, where the sky was absolutely clear when it's normally, when all the traffic's moving in Delhi and those other places, it's just a nothing but a smog. You know, there was the cleanest air we've ever seen. But yet, say it's the highest. They said that the Australian wildfires had a significant effect. They also said the pandemic caused this. Why would the pandemic cause this? Because the skies were clear, not blocking the sun. Was that the case? So anyway, 2020 tied 2016, according to NASA. YouTube is doubling down on its efforts to make credible health content more accessible. They've got a partnership and wants to make public health, what they're saying, is truly public. The team will be led by Dr. Garth Graham, who was previously the chief community health officer at CVS Health. The new team is working on making it easier for users to find medical information from trusted organizations and clinics in healthcare. Google will find you any health-related treatment, or you can, you know, doctors hate Google because you can predict your ailment almost. Of course, doctors always says you get it wrong. that at least people are trying to figure out about what's going on with their health versus being kind of ignorant about it. You know, I think any information is better than no information, especially if it makes you go to your doctor and say, hey, I got a problem. But then again, it might prevent someone from going to the doctor. AT&T TV Now closes down and merges with AT&T TV. You know, this was confusing already. The skinny bundle service AT&T TV Now, they pulled the plug. It's merged. So AT&T's trying to clean up house. And, you know, really, people ask, well, what was that? I don't even know. AT&T TV Now began in 2016 as DirecTV. And so now it's all joined together. So if you're on that service, you probably have known about that already. So many of us have not been driving that much, although my car, for some reason, has got 26,000 miles on it already. I'm kind of shocked. I got a notice from Ford said, you're a high mileage driver. And I'm like, how is that possible? But I guess I am. But car sales are expected to ramp up significantly in 2021 following all this downtime. So my opinion is, if you've not been driving very much in 2020, why would you trade your car in next year or this year? Would you not? It's got less miles on it, right? Less activity. So it'll last another year. But they feel there's going to be a surge in people going out and buying cars as we return to normal. CES was full of cool stuff. And one of the things that I always just have a passing interest in is projectors. I don't know why. I don't use projectors very often, presentations, that kind of stuff. But LG launched a laser-powered 4K HDR projector. It's a ultra-bright home theater projector that costs $3,000. So it's one of those projectors that will basically really work as a home theater. And you mount it in the ceiling. You can set up your own entertainment room. That's always been kind of a cool thing. You know, people that have these big entertainment rooms where they have a couch and multiple couches, places to put drinks and a little bar, all that's very, very cool. My sister's basement has kind of that layout a little bit. And it's really fun when you're hanging out with a group, watching a movie or whatever. But it depends on if you need either flat screen or projection, and you can't go wrong with either. So that link will be up in the show notes for those of you with the budget. And for those of you that are hacking out there, you can hack together your own e-paper smartwatch. There's a $50 open source kit. It's an Adreno-powered RISC computer. So this to me sounds like a cool project that really any family member could do. And maybe this would be a teenager that would want to put this together. And if you've ever wanted to be like Steve Wozniak and have your own custom-made geeky watch, Squarofumi, Squarofumi, may be the product for you. And it's cheap. It's $45 as of this posting. And I don't know how much work you have to do to put this together. I wouldn't imagine too much. It looks pretty modular. Yeah, so here's a picture of it. So you are going to have to do a little bit of work, but they give you a breadboard that's opened up and a kit and instructions, and should be a lot of fun for someone to put one of these together. And it looks, I mean, really, really nerdy. I mean, if you want to be the geek kid, remember, geek kids are in now, right? Geek kids are the ones that are making all the money after they graduate college. So don't be afraid to embrace your geekdom. And it looks like it'll do time, it connects to Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, has a clock, tells temperature and your step count. So at least on the screen that I'm seeing here on the news article. If you have a Pixel 4a or 5G, you may have had some screen issues. Google's working on a fix for those touchscreen woes. Some users started reporting trouble after downloading the December security update, not being able to tap certain parts of the screen and seeing some lines on it. So don't worry, that's coming. And I think you're going to be good. Reading the chat, yeah, Rita, probably going back and forth to Columbus really, really racked up the miles. Because that was 300 each way, 320 each way. And then I was doing, or maybe it wasn't 320, about 240 or something like that. And then all the traveling around down in Columbus and then back, and every 2 weeks back and forth. Yeah, it added up the miles for sure. All right, moving on here. Philips Hue launches a long-awaited light switch module and more. Now, how many of you have bought some of those Philips Hue lights and you turn on the switch and you can connect via Wi-Fi, you can change the color, you can change the brightness, you can program it and do all these cool things, right? They're really slick until someone turns off the light switch. Then all these cool things you've done is really worthless. Well, Philips Hue has recognized this and they've launched a long-awaited switch module and more. So basically, in the place of your light switch, this module will go in and basically it prevents people from unprogramming your light. So people can't click it no more. It's still controlled by your smartphone, but this switch module solves the problem of people switching off the switch. And it's powered by a battery that will have at least a 5-year lifespan. And I don't know why they just didn't wire it into the socket, to be honest with you. But the Hue switch module will cost between $69 for a 2-pack. And it goes to launch in Europe this summer, followed by North America later this year. So keep an eye on that. So if you've used Philips Hue, maybe many of you haven't. Maybe you've bought some off-market stuff. But, it's just like protecting the kids from turning some light switches off, turning power off to my gear when I was in Honolulu. Whereas now, it's the cats that are bothering me. Asus announced 2 new dual display laptops. This is kind of unique, and I'm kind of dubious to this, but those of you watching, there's a big screen and then a half screen. So it's kind of interesting. It's an extra monitor attached to a desktop workstation, can make you more efficient, but laptops need to be portable. These laptops will start at about $1,000 when they begin shipping. And this is in the dual line. I guess, again, a dual monitor on the bottom of the laptop that edges up a little bit and then a regular screen. So I don't know. I don't know who uses these. Maybe artistic people. They show someone doing some touch-up work on an image in the product shot. So maybe that is the use model for that. Samsung, well, they made a bunch of announcements today. Of course, they announced the S21 line of phones and notebooks. And they're also making Bluetooth and ultra-wideband tracking tags. So many of you have had tracking tags in the past. And, those are really, really handy. I've got a couple of myself from different manufacturers. But this is by Samsung. And you attach it to a bag or attach it to your phone or attach it to your keys. And it's kind of like a tile-like dongle. And you're familiar with tile trackers. It's similar. And it's got a Bluetooth locator as well. But if you buy an S21, they're going to give you one of their tracker tags for free as supplies last. They run out from the free ones. They're about $30 a shot. And of course, new earbuds. I'll have that link to the article that later. Apple this is kind of rare. An update recently in Big Sur, actually, when Big Sur shipped in November, the firewall system worked on all non-Apple apps, but it allowed all Apple apps to bypass the firewall. So Apple has issued an update that now allows you to firewall the 56 Apple apps that were allowed to have basically God status, and you can exclude that traffic in some of the settings. I know a lot of people don't pay attention to any of that, but a lot of people that are in specific jobs have to basically shut down certain type of traffic. And now with this update, that's possible again. But up to this point, those apps have been free to really connect to the internet, not necessarily providing a security situation, but definitely using your bandwidth. Maybe you didn't think it was going to. Many folks are using WhatsApp. WhatsApp is facing a legal challenge over privacy in its biggest market. That market is India. So basically, through an alert, WhatsApp has asked users in recent days to agree to some new terms and conditions. It grants the app the consent to share with Facebook some personal data about them, such as their phone number and location. Users will have to agree to these terms by February 8th if they wish to continue using the app. The change has been mischaracterized by many as their personal communication being compromised, which is what WhatsApp clarified this week was not the case. But at the same time, there's a petition now in India alleges that the new terms that WhatsApp requires of its roughly 450 million users in the country is a violation of their fundamental rights of privacy and poses a threat to national security. Did you hear that? Also, did you hear that France and some other countries are setting up legislation now to prevent and outlaw the ability of social media companies to censor and devoice people? That's going through in many countries outside the United States. You think we'd be leading that, but no. It's going to be led by France, by Australia, and some other countries. Makes you think, doesn't it? The NHTSA, NHTSA? I guess that's the National Highway Transportation Administration, wants Tesla to recall 158,000 Tegra 3 equipped vehicles. That would include the Model S and Model X EV built prior to 2018. Apparently, those monitors inside the Teslas have a memory chip, an 8-gig memory chip that apparently wears out. And when it does, the monitor goes out. And what that prevents you from having is the reverse camera and able to defrost your windows. So they're asking Tesla to do a voluntary recall on those and replace them. We'll see what Tesla has to say, and maybe the NHTSA will get more tough with them, because the NHTSA is not satisfied by the strategy and has told Tesla urging the company to institute the recall. And so if you own a Tesla, one of those models, be aware that there's an issue there with that monitor. PayPal has picked up a number of payment firms throughout the world. And PayPal Holdings Incorporated has become the first foreign, now check this out, I wonder how long this will last, has become the first foreign operator with 100% control of a payment platform in China. According to Chinese government data, the U.S. fintech giant eyes a bigger foothold in a booming market for online payments. PayPal acquired a 30% stake in a company called GoPay in China, additional 30% stake, which allowed them now to have 100% control of the company. And I guess this is pretty rare that a foreign company owns 100% stake in a Chinese company. Of course, the Chinese probably can just take it away, right? Talked about a little earlier, but the Galaxy Smart Tag, $29.99, the Tile competitor. So if you just want to look at the tiles and get information on that, again, it's be able to find stuff that you've lost, hopefully within your home or your car or your, in the crack of your couch. That's where my stuff always ends up. It seems like I put stuff on a chair and I sit down and ends up down in the crack in the couch. Samsung also has a new AI-powered vacuum and laundry cleaning products at CES. So our Jen Thorpe at Geek News Central did the write-up on this. So the JetBolt 90 AI Plus is the world's first smart robotic vacuum powered by Intel AI. Gives your floor an amazing clean with minimal effort. My Roomba keeps getting lost, keeps getting stuck. I moved it to a new position, and it's having a hard time recovering, even though I reset it. The Samsung Galaxy Buds Pros are out now for $200. So if you're a big fan of Samsung and you in need of some new earbuds and want to spend a lot of money, $200 available today. And of course, we already talked about the S21. So if you buy a Samsung Galaxy S21, it will not come with a charger. You'll have to spend $20 extra. They're following Apple's lead on that. Smaller packaging, and the charger just takes up too much room. That's what this is really about. They want to ship more units and save a little money on their margin and make you spend a little more buying something. Now, my brother-in-law, I think he's going to need this. It's a pool cleaning robot. It's called Ariel. Ariel by Solar Breeze is the latest evolution of pool robots to come out of the Tempe-based Pivot Solar Breeze and made a debut at CES 2021. And basically, this thing charges itself. and it travels the pool surface to collect debris. It's not a bottom feeder. It does the top. And so if you want something that's going to crawl around the bottom of your pool, that's a whole different situation here. But anyway, the filter collects stuff up to 200 microns in size down to 200 microns in size. And it's got a debris chamber and simple removal from pool with no slip handle. Easy to empty and refill. And again, it recharges by the sun. So you probably just leave this thing in the swimming pool. Now, if you're a BMW driver and you're going to go buy the iX, yes, the BMW all-electric iX will be the first to support what's called a digital key plus feature. So let's say you have your mobile phone in your purse and you're walking to your car and you get to the door, your door will unlock. You won't have to do anything with your phone. Your phone will allow your car to start. You still have a key, of course, but all you're going to need to have really is your phone to operate your vehicle. Now, this will be a first where your mobile phone is basically, and to be honest with you, I hate carrying keys. I really do. It gets to be a little bit to get used to. Good that you have the key backup, but you'll be able to unlock your phone with anything higher than the iPhone 11. So the iPhone 11, iPhone 12, I don't know if it works with any Samsung products or not or any Android products, but definitely the iPhone will allow you to unlock the BMW iX, probably out of my price range. Samsung is bringing a SmartThing dashboard to Android Auto. You'll be able to control your car with the SmartThings app as well. So a lot of announcements by Samsung today. And they've also teamed up with Google to bring this dashboard. As such, you'll be able to control your smart home products from your car. And so I'll have the write-up and information in there. So what does it say in the car? You can turn your car on. What else? Activate the heater or air condition. What else? You can start and stop the motor. The feature won't arrive until at least third quarter of 2021. So be aware of that. So all kinds of cool stuff coming to our phones. So Bitcoin, my goodness, went to $39,000 today. I was waiting for it to drop. I said if it'd get down to 25, I would buy. But it's back up to 39K tonight. Gemini is launching a credit card with Bitcoin rewards. So cryptocurrency exchange company Gemini has acquired Blockwise, announcing its new product today. This credit card works like a regular credit card, but you earn Bitcoin rewards based on purchases. You get it up to 3% in Bitcoin. Now that could end up being, think about that. If this card was available and it was down around 3,000 and you made a $100 purchase and you got $3 worth of Bitcoin, that Bitcoin today would be worth, if he bought it that lower amount, you know, 30 bucks, right? So, interesting. This might get some action by folks that are big into Bitcoin. I know a guy that's tried to go 100% Bitcoin. He's working real, real hard at it. He doesn't want to have green dollar bills anymore. He wants Bitcoin. Lumiata raises $14 million for its service to predict healthcare outcomes. Now, why do you need to predict healthcare outcomes? If you think about that, I go into the doctor, I've got an issue. They punch my information into this system and it comes out and says he has a 90% chance of dying. And your doctor's going to say, well, sorry, I can't give you any medicine or prescribe you anything because the computer says you're going to die. So that's how I read that when I just see that, when it says predict healthcare outcomes. So the company software cleans up healthcare data sets and they analyze them to look for underwriting risk for insurance agencies and cost savings for healthcare payers and providers. Believe me, this is a company that is not going to help us at all. They have a great relationships with their insurance companies that do business with them. This is one that I guess if they ever go public, probably be a pretty good company to invest in because they're going to screw you any other way. And finally, tonight, Google now owns Fitbit. So that has closed. The $2.1 billion purchase of Fitbit has closed, and now it's completely wrapped up underneath that. So anyway, I actually did pretty good on time, considering everything. I busted through all that introductory stuff, even with the mess of the stream going down. Insane. Absolutely insane tonight. But I want to thank everyone. Thank everyone for being here. Thank everyone for shifting to YouTube, to watch me on YouTube. And I do appreciate you all being out. Again, you know, it's really a pretty incredible. You know, we go on Monday. We'll come back at 15:01. It'll be just like a regular show. But just seems like as we are marching towards, and when I say we, you and I and the family of listeners, as we march towards 1500, it just like, you know, I had a few days off and then that thing kept getting extended, but it's nice to be here and get over this hurdle. Very, 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 very few shows have achieved 1500. Now, there's a guy that has a horse network. His name's Glenn. He's, you know, he's way up in like the 3000 range, but he does a daily show. But folks that have been podcasting since the beginning, there's only a few of us left that really started in those early, early days of podcasting. And I can count them on really on one hand. Someone the other day came and said, I started in September of 04. And I'm like, who are you? And went back and used the Internet Archive. That's what gave me the idea to show those screens tonight. Of course, you know, chaos ensued with Facebook being down, but it wasn't. It was 2006. And I went back and said, hey, the earliest record of you coming online is 2006. Oh, yeah. You know, and I don't mind if he joined, came in the podcasting space at 2004. It was one that slipped by me. But there's just, again, not that many of us that started in those early days. And maybe we're crazy. And many of us, I'm probably one of the few that has the original show. Because people have changed shows multiple times. So that's another, in my opinion, real accomplishment here. But the real accomplishment is that you're still here listening to me to dribble on. But I definitely thank you for being here and being part of the family and supporting me and supporting the sponsor. And again, if you haven't heard, the insiders, anyone that comes in with a $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month donation to the show, we're going to have a new podcast, or I'm going to have a new podcast called Insider. It's going to be a private podcast. It's going to be a personal podcast. It's going to be a behind-the-scenes podcast, and only those that are insiders are going to get access to it. I'm making no promise on, because promises are bad when it comes to everything that I have going on. So I'm saying that I'll do my best effort to put out a show on a regular basis, maybe like once a month. It'll be just a back behind the scenes, casual conversation about what's going on and with me and life. And I'll share more stuff than I share on the show. So I think you'll get some enjoyment out of the podcast. And again, a little more intimate time together. So become an insider today. $2 gets you in. And I'll be sending everyone that is an insider in the very near future, an invite. It'll include a username and password and allow you to get access to the show via a private for the Blueberry private podcasting app. And I'm excited to be able to, we're going to put the encryption real high. We're going to really invoke encryption so that no one will be able to physically share that media file. You might be able to rig something up to record it, but going to make you work for it. All right, everybody. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Thank you for supporting the sponsors. And if I can do this right, let me do this. Yep, I'll put that up. And I'll take that down. And I'll put this up. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone, thanks. 1500's in the can. And now I got a little bit of editing to do. Can't believe it. All right, everyone, take care. Bye-bye.